In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It wouldn't be so bad if the only funeral you could expect to attend for the rest of your life would be your own. Not so bad, because then you could put off thinking about death. You could focus on making a happy life here. But funerals rip off those rose-tinted glasses and force you to face the reality of this cursed world. Your days in this world are numbered, and there are going to be a lot of funerals before this world is through. Funerals for loved ones, funerals for fellow Christians, funerals for friends. And not only funerals for the people around us, but funerals for people's jobs, so to speak, for their plans, their homes, their marriages, their families, maybe even their love itself, their hope, their faith. It's sobering to think. It wakes you up. It keeps you up to think of it. So many funerals. So many endings. So much weeping before this is through. So much unexpected and unwanted change. Jesus came to Bethany into the midst of such funeral. He came to Martha and Mary in their weeping to speak an absolute truth. He comes to you now, in the midst of your weeping over the change that's roiling around you in this world, the fear, the death that you can't escape in these days. He comes and he speaks this one absolute constant to us all. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus says not I will be or I might be. He says I am the resurrection and the life. I am. This is who Jesus is. This is the divine name of God at work. I am who I am. Right here, Jesus is showing us who he is. He is our resurrection ahead and our life now and forever. Through everything that may come, Jesus is alive to save you. Jesus can say this to Martha here in Bethany because he knew what he would do on Calvary. He would go to the cross and he would die. And on the third day, he would rise from the dead, never to die again. That resurrection of Jesus means that the cross really accomplished all that Jesus said it would. By his crucifixion, he atoned for all sin. And where there is no sin, there is no death anymore. So Jesus had to rise from the dead. His own hasty funeral was undone, and the grave clothes were left in the tomb. Jesus wouldn't need them again. If Jesus hadn't have risen from the dead, that would mean the cross had failed. That would mean that we could have no hope for mercy, no life, no future, only an end. God would have no reason to be patient with humanity now and would have no comfort to offer us. But the truth is that Jesus, a man like us, now lives, untouched by death forever. And that changes everything. That life flows through him to the rest of us. A lifeline from him to you. A lifeline that death cannot sever. Because Jesus' cross did what he said it would for you. Jesus declared that the blood he poured out on Calvary was for the forgiveness of your sins. And where there is no sin for you anymore, there is no death left for you anymore. No grave that can hold you anymore. Now, it may seem like we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves here, jumping out of Lent and straight into Easter. But I think we need that joy of Easter when we're drowning in grief. We need the light of that new day to break our darkness. We need the rock of Christ to cling to when everything else is in turmoil around us. We need the hope of forgiveness if we're going to stand before God as penitent sinners. We need the word of the resurrection preached to us through all of these funerals. Nothing can change the truth of this preaching of forgiveness and resurrection life in Jesus. Not our circumstances, not our despair, not our fear. It is the unshakable bedrock of reality as we know it. Because Jesus lives, we have a sure future, unchanged by all that's going on and unchanging. It's a future so bright that our current suffering isn't worth comparing with the glory that lies ahead. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." The pain that we endure now are birth pangs. Terrible pain, but pain that precedes a new life. All creation is waiting, is groaning, is leaning forward, longing for that day. So just hang on. Life is coming, and nothing can stop it. You will live to see it. You will take part in that glory ahead. And the nature of that glory is not just an intense, endless happiness so that we don't have to worry about or think about what came before, but rather, it's the active healing of this pain and the sure promise of a future without any more pain. We can finally let go of all of our anxieties like a child in the arms of her father. Peaceful, content, safe. That's what Jesus has ahead for you. And that's how Jesus can say, in Lazarus' case and in ours, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now that almost sounds callous, to say that God is glorified through illness. It sounds as though he might not care about what we suffer now as long as he looks good. But God's not callous to our pain. He knows our pain. He feels it himself. He carried it himself. He loves you, each of you. And all of you, our suffering moves him to tears. Jesus wept. That's why he went to the cross, to endure and ensure the end of our suffering and ensure life ahead. Now, what grieves him now, I'm sure, is that so many refuse his life, refuse his forgiveness, refuse his Spirit. Because all of this future that we've been talking about so far is only for those who have the Spirit of Christ. Those who live according to the flesh have no such hope. That's why after Jesus speaks this hope to Martha, he asks, "Do you believe this?" Because only faith in Him can receive His promises, receive His hope, receive His forgiveness and life that He already won for you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him, Paul says. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. For those who reject Jesus, there is only a funeral ahead. Those who reject Jesus are dead already, and they're heading to the eternal death of hell. That's why God waits now. Why He lets sickness run its course. Why He lets the funerals keep piling up. God waits in order so that those who now reject Him would now have ample opportunity to repent and receive His forgiveness, receive His life. God is patient so that more and more people would come to know and witness His power to save us, His power to raise us. And this is the word He puts in your mouth. If you know someone who's sitting on the fence now, you could tell them this. If you're looking for hope now, know that even now the teacher, the Savior, Jesus, is calling for you. Come to Him in faith and see the life that He won for you, the life that He's just waiting to give you. He will show you His salvation. This is also why Jesus waited to come when He heard that Lazarus was sick. Why Jesus waited to go to Mary and Martha until Lazarus was dead and in the tomb. He waited. Knowing that Lazarus and Mary and Martha were suffering, He waited because He loved them. He let Lazarus and Mary's and Martha's faith have its voice, prayed their pain, so that He could answer their prayer with life. He suffers along with them. He weeps along with them so that at the right time, He can give them something even better than they asked for. Real glory, real life, real joy. But Jesus could only give these things to them because of what He received. Remember what Martha said? Even now, Martha told Jesus, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. What do you think that Jesus would ask for, so to speak? What do you think Jesus would need to receive, would want to receive? What would Jesus ask from His Father in order to give Lazarus life? To give Martha and Mary joy. To give you life and joy forever and even now. Jesus would ask for your grief so that you could have comfort. Jesus asked for your tears so that He might wipe them away forever. Jesus asked for your sin and for your shame and for your guilt so that you would be forgiven and you would be purified and you would be honored. He asked for your wounds so that you would be healed. He asked for your grave clothes so that He could wear them instead of you. He asked for your tomb so that He could lay in it for you. He asked for your death so that you would live. And God gave it to Him. He gave it all to Him. Father, I thank You that You have heard me, Jesus said. Father, forgive them, Jesus said. My God, why have You forsaken me? Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus said. Jesus received all of that from his Father so that he could give you life, so that he could call you from your death, and so that you could stand before him today alive, so that you would be unbound from the snares of fear of death that surround you and be set free. Because of Jesus' cross, because Jesus was condemned for you, you are forgiven and you are set free from death's condemnation, set free from sin. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You, the baptized and believing, are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. And in fact, the Spirit of God now dwells in you, according to that promise of baptism. And that Spirit of God cries out within you. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might become the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God works all things, even these evil days, for the good of those who are called, those who believe. God is using every illness and every evil and every funeral in this world to turn our hearts back to him, away from the sinful flesh, away from putting our trust in the failing things of this world. God is turning us toward him to see what he has done about our death. He uses this present suffering to conform us to the image of our suffering Savior, the image of the crucified and resurrected Jesus, so that we may follow him in faith into the tomb and then out of it again. Just like Lazarus, just like Jesus. No matter your diagnosis, no illness of body or mind and heart will ever lead to your death. They may lead to many endings, endings of expectations, plans, the world as you know it, but it will not lead to your death. You will live, really live. As surely as Jesus is raised, so shall you. Him first, then us. Jesus on the third day, Lazarus on the fourth. On the day Jesus visited Bethany, Lazarus staggered out wearing those grave clothes. Death still clung to his flesh, and he would die and be buried again. That's like us now. We're still heading to a death and a burial, but Jesus is different. Remember, he left his grave clothes behind in the tomb. He will never need them again. Jesus is alive now and will live forever. And that's your assurance of life to come. That also is the kind of life that you will have when Jesus comes to raise you again. Since the living Christ is already in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of his righteousness, which he gives to you. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the life of Jesus is not only your life in the future, but also even now. That's why Jesus describes Lazarus in the grave as being asleep. He sleeps, and Jesus would wake him. You shall sleep, and Jesus will awaken you. And maybe on the way to that final awakening, Jesus will use this sorrow now to wake you up to the life that really matters. Life of faith towards God and fervent love towards one another. Wake you up to the family that God has given to you in your home and in this church. Wake you up to attend to your vocations, to the real treasures of God's word and sacraments. Wake you up to your real need for Him who is your life. When all this is through, when this world is all through, there will be one last funeral. The final funeral ahead is when we bury death itself. And that funeral bell tolls every Sunday, every Easter. That final Easter dawn is coming soon. The final ending of all endings. Soon. Soon, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, is coming into the world. And He will wake you and all the faithful to life with Him forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.